Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
With Tab, I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
It's a talk. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We are also over at WTIC's Facebook page. We are broadcasting live, Facebook Live. So check us out. And if you want to say hello or post what's going on, feel free to do so while you're on the site there. But you were nice enough to join us on this lovely Saturday morning. Let's get right to your calls right away. Go to Mike in Wallingford. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, not too much, guys. How are you doing today?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. A couple of questions. First has to do with thinking about cutting the cord and getting rid of cable.
Yes, sir. I don't blame you.
Use Netflix and Prime mostly for the movies. And so we got five TVs in the house, and I'm thinking to access everything, I probably need to pick up. I'm looking at possibly one of the Roku sticks.
Roku's a fine choice. Sure.
Okay. And then for the other channels, you know, we're Sox and Bruins fans, so I think that means I need to go with Fubo.
I think you're right. I've heard that Nesson has had a falling out with YouTube TV. So we're going to have to change as well, unless Nesson gets their act together and works it out with YouTube TV. We're going to end up having to do some changes as well in the spring.
All right. So you're not familiar with Fubo.
I'm not familiar with it, but I have looked at it because right when we heard that Nesson was going away from YouTube TV, we started looking at alternatives. I think they're going to work it out, Mike. I would assume they're going to work it out, but who knows?
I picked up the free trial this week because my wife wanted to watch some of the women UConn basketball games, which is on there as well. So it's seems to be okay. All right. So that's the cutting the cord question. The other thing has to do with internet security.
Yeah.
Currently, I've got an old Dell desktop, which now I use that exclusively for my banking and my brokerage transactions. Mm-hmm. So I don't use the Microsoft Surface, which is I do my online surfing on.
Yeah.
But I have Norton 360, which for their security measure, they want you to connect with the VPN.
Right.
And actually, sometimes when I do that, when I'm using their VPN, I can't connect to the the Vanguard brokerage account.
Right.
I'm not sure why that is, or should I not even be concerned about that? And my better option, and this is a question, but would that better option be OpenDNS?
A better option, it's just a good option whether you do anything or else, is to use OpenDNS, period. That's a good thing. It's just a safer internet surfing experience by default. But as far as the VPN goes, when you're using a VPN in your own home, you're really only protecting your surfing from the folks on your network. So, do you have family in your home?
Yep.
Do you think they're going to actually try to hack your access while you're on Vanguard? Are they going to say, hey, is dad cutting me out of the will? So the VPN really is only protecting you from the people in your home from knowing where you're surfing. A VPN is better used when you're in a public space like a hotel or an airport. So that when you're on that network in the airport, nobody sitting next to you who might be using a tool like Wireshark or what have you to try to figure out what Mike's doing on his network, they wouldn't be able to. So you're kind of overkilling it when you're doing it internally, because your VPN pops out wherever that 365 occurs, right? So when you VPN, you're tunneling to another system, and let's just say it's Norton Systems, and let's say it's located in Pasadena. Who knows, right? Then it pops out and it uses, hopefully, the DNS on that Pasadena server for you to get into your Vanguard. Now, that Pasadena server has where you've been and what you're doing. Do you trust the guys at Norton? I don't know. Should you?
Don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know either.
Right, but so how is OpenDNS? What makes them different?
So when you surf on OpenDNS, that's a Cisco product, and it's going to hopefully not let you go to known malicious sites. So they're part of something called an umbrella. So professionally, the technology is utilized by businesses all over the place, and they'll be aware of these malicious sites. So if you use the DNS from your cable provider, they're going to track where Mike's going, right? They want to, hey, where's Mike going? He's surfing here, he's surfing there, great. And then they sell that data to marketers. Well, when you're on OpenDNS, that's not going to occur. The cable providers won't know where you're going. And number two, when you surf on the OpenDNS, you're not going to let you go to malicious sites that they know of. And you can also, if you have young kids in there, you can actually sign up and set filtering to say, I don't want the kids to go to porn sites. I don't want them to go to what other malicious site you think is malicious. You can actually configure that. So anybody in your network would not go and do things on your network that you wouldn't be proud of or that you'd have to explain to the FBI.
Okay, got it. So if you're using OpenDNS, does it still make sense, or is it overkill to have one separate standalone computer for brokerage and banking?
Great question. I don't think it's overkill. I think it's smart to keep your brokerage and banking on a machine that you are going to do your darndest to not go surf anywhere else. You should also enable two-factor authentication if the brokerage and banking facilities allow it, whether it be a Yubico key, whatever it could be there, so that you get extra security. But I would tell you to try to not surf anywhere else when you're using that separate machine. It's never overkill these days. You just don't want to be the vector they use to get into your accounts. Now, with this whole SolarWind things, your bank could have been compromised already. Right, so you can do all the protection you want, but then the tools that these companies are using get compromised, and then we're all just victims. So I would tell you to just use a separate machine. It's definitely better than not doing that. You don't want your 18-year-old or your 17-year-old surfing whatever they're surfing after you've done your banking or before.
Yep. Yeah, understood. And I'm just going to guess. Maybe you said it before, but I haven't. If you have, I haven't heard it. But I'm going to guess you don't do banking on your phone.
So I hadn't done banking on my phone for quite some time. However, we have purchased a place south as a safety valve, an escape of Connecticut at some point. And in order to do things, you need the ability to do it through a tool like your phone. So I did acquiesce and am starting to use that technology, gingerly. Makes me nervous. So I'll tell you, I don't like that I have to use it, but I have to use it because I can't go to an ATM down there to move my money around up here. So it's a necessary tool.
Very good. All right, guys. Appreciate All right, Mike. The information.
You're welcome, sir. Good luck. Bye. But yeah, I mean, these tools are out there, and try to use two-factor authentication, try to use extra security where you can, try not to use that secondary device that you've dedicated to banking or your financial planning and what have you for anything other than that, because you don't know where you surf. You could literally finish your banking and then start saying, geez, I'm really interested in sea turtles, and you start searching for sea turtle art or whatever, and all of a sudden you're clicking on a malicious picture of a sea turtle, and I don't know, they're in your system. I mean, it sounds crazy, but it's not. That's what happens. We're going to step out for a quick break, get to your calls. Sally, Joe, Bob, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. We're definitely going to fly now. This is Computer Talk with Tab. And just on our Facebook page here, Dan says that AT&T TV carries Nessun. So I think you can actually get a streaming service from AT&T. And so maybe there's an option for you. You may not want their internet service, but they may offer a streaming service. And so Nessun's there. Let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Sally in Wethersfield first. What's going on, Sally?
I play a program, PokerStars.net.
PokerStars, you winning or you losing?
I'm winning.
Oh, good for you.
But now I can't get into it.
Uh-oh.
All of a sudden it comes up, and this is within the last week. Rational Updater client software has stopped working.
All right, so it's not being very rational.
Not at all. And I can't get into my $16 million I have in there.
$16 million fake dollars, of course.
Of course.
All right. So
it's fun to do when you're stuck at home all the time.
I hear you. I love playing poker with live, real people in front of you.
Yes.
Online
yes.
poker, I'm not too. I don't have a lot of fun.
Yes, I do too, but because I wouldn't go to a casino now.
No.
For any reason.
I hear you. I'm trying to see if PokerStars has issues. Have you? What's your browser? Have you updated your browser lately?
What is that? I know very little about computers. Let me tell you.
That's okay. Okay. So, what are you using to go to PokerStars? What tool are you using? What is it, a laptop, a PC? Is it a tablet? What are you using?
Oh no, it's like, you know, the big box, your regular computer.
All right. So you're going on a computer. Is it running Windows 7, Windows 10? Do you know the operating system?
7.
Windows 7, so it's the older yeah. operating system.
Yeah. I have the 10, but it's not in there.
Okay. Your browser may be the part of the issue. Your browser would be, if you're getting to PokerStars, you're going to go ahead and surf using the Beach Ball. Are you using the Beach Ball, which is Google Chrome? Are you using the Fox, which kind of cuddled
okay.
around the world? Do you know what you're using when you get to bring up PokerStars, or is it an app? Is it an application?
I haven't. You know, where it's been in there for so long. And
yeah.
I have the little thing on my right on my
your
screen.
Desktop? Oh, okay. So you have an actual desktop app there, huh?
Yeah. You know, I just click it, and like there, I click it.
Yeah. And it says it's not being
it
rational.
And it's PokerStars update.
Yeah.
Have you rebooted? Have you rebooted your computer and your modem and router?
A couple of times.
All right.
All right. They talk about clearing the application, and I can't go to this site for some reason because they're not secure through tab here. So PokerStars has some things that talk about clearing the PokerStars cache, not your fake cache, but cache within the tool itself.
I don't do that. So
yeah, no, I know.
So. I'm at a site called Down Detector, and PokerStars appears to have gone down somewhere around 3 o'clock, and it looks like they got it back online around 6:20 or so.
Is this a recent issue, or has this been an issue going on for a while?
Well, I'm looking at what it did in the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
So, you know, it looks like it went down for a while, and according to this, it's up again.
But you're still getting the error, right, Sally?
Oh, yeah, I just did it again.
All right,
and
so I can't...
It's coming up.
The site is not secure, so it's, from within tab, I'm not able to actually look at their help. I'm actually being blocked by our security tools. If I was at the station, I'd be able to. but I can't hear. So, unfortunately, I can't get you more help, but they do have 24/7 help for all your online poker issues. So if you go to PokerStars.com... You can go to their help and ask them, because I'm not going to be of any help to you because I can't check for you.
Oh, okay. I didn't know it was something that they could help me with.
Yeah, they're very interested, Sally, in having you play.
They want your $16 million.
Even my little play money, yes.
Oh, yeah. So I think you're going to have to go to them directly. They do have a help area for 24/7. You should be able to get over to that, maybe even put a little chat in describing your issue. And they might be able to tell you how to. I think you have to clear your cache in the program, if I had to guess, from what I'm kind of gleaning from what I can see.
When you say clear my cache, they're not going to take my play
they're
money.
No, they're not taking your fake money.
Different cache.
Yeah, the cache in the program, you might have reached some sort of maximum because you've got $16 million, so clearly you've played for a little while.
Oh, I've been playing for years.
Yeah, so you probably have hit some sort of maximum on that tool that needs to be cleared or updated. So that's all I got for you, Sally. We can't see. We can't get the PokerStars to see.
Okay,
blocked.
Another thing I have is I get a lot of pop-up stuff.
Yeah.
Why is that?
That's because you play PokerStars all the time. just kidding.
I mean, just on my regular internet. Just
I know.
I
no, I know. So what happens is when you
You're
browse...
You're jealous because you don't want to play it.
I am jealous. $16 million, you've won a lot, man. You've done pretty well. When you surf the internet, you build up these... You know, these pop-ups that will hit you eventually. And so, again, if you used OpenDNS, you would be less apt to be impacted by pop-ups. We would tell you, there's pop-up blockers that we could recommend you put in your Chrome to stop that from happening. But if you configured OpenDNS on your system, that would be a way to reduce that type of stuff from occurring.
DNS? What's that?
OpenDNS. It's a tool that allows you to surf more securely on the internet. It's more of a couple of IP addresses that you have to put in. We can put some information on Computer Talk for you, Sally, that you can read and try to follow to implement it in your system. But I just think it's because of your surfing. Eventually, you've come across these browser, not really hijacks, but they're throwing this junk in front of you because of where you visited. And believe it or not, PokerStars could be part of that issue. The way they make money off somebody, right? If you're not making, you're not paying them anything, right?
No.
So why would they be so interested in? Yeah, but they are so interested in getting you connected, right? For what reason do you think?
I'm sure they like people. Eventually, I'm sure they hope Connecticut will let you go with real money.
Well, there's that, but I think they're also offering you advertisements of some kind through your usage of the tool. And so these types of places that give you access to stuff for free are trying to figure out how to monetize you. So they're not putting it out for free. But yeah, eventually you're right. We're going to get online gaming here in Connecticut. Yeah. I would assume we're out of money. We may as well go after everything.
They got everything else, so I'm sure they'll have it eventually.
Exactly. They'll tax your $16 million $16 million being taxed by this legislature means you're going to have, what, maybe $300,000 left after that?
They're not going to touch my little play money, thank God.
No. So, yeah, we're not too much help here for you, but we do have some links up here for you that we can put that you can take a look at getting help from PokerStars as to the problem with their system, Sally.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, sorry I couldn't be more help.
That's right. Merry Christmas.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's move on to... Uh-oh. We're going to go on to Joe in South Windsor next. What's going on, Joe?
Hi. Love your show. I have a couple antivirus questions.
All right.
First one is, if you click on a link and then you're concerned that you did, if you run...
the regretted click?
Right. If you run... Malwarebytes Premium and then Defender, and it says that it hasn't detected anything, does that mean that the link wasn't a problem, or could they just not detect some problems?
It doesn't mean anything, right? So you don't know if they just haven't seen anything, because that's why you use multiple tools to protect you, multiple layers. You've got your OpenDNS, you've got your Defender, you've got your whatever tools you're using. Those multiple layers of protection are hopefully going to lessen your chance of getting into trouble. And the bad guys may not implement the thing into your system until later, whatever they've downloaded or whatever they've tried to inject into your browser is not necessarily going to happen instantaneously. They're not, oh, hey, we got Joe, we got a hot one here. He clicked on this. Not necessarily. I mean, if you're a smart bad guy, you're going to wait. You're going to wait until later, and then that way you have no idea when or how you got your infection. That's the example of SolarWinds. SolarWinds infection was occurring for months and months and months and months and months, and they just found it. So you never know. Just
so
be careful.
So they're really, even though you have antivirus software,
it doesn't do anything until
better,
the bad...
You can't.
Right. The antivirus can't do anything until the thing tries to do something. Right? If the thing you downloaded doesn't actually execute or run or do anything, antivirus is not going to notice anything has occurred yet. It's nothing... It's dormant. Right?
Okay. So then... When it does try,
it should stop.
If you have that on your system, it should detect it.
It should, yes. That's the whole point. Yep.
Okay.
And you got to trust it.
Okay. And then another quick question.
Can I put you on hold then, Joe? We're coming up against a hard break. We'll put you on hold, Joe, and get to your second question. A couple lines open for you. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back after this break.
Thank you.
laid-back Saturday morning, thanks to Joe in the studio back in Farmington. We are here in the hermetically sealed studios of East Hartford, Connecticut. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and Joe is still on the line. He had a second question. You still there, Joe?
Yes.
What's going on? What was your second question?
Antivirus software sometimes has real-time protection where you can turn on and off things like web malware, ransomware protection, and exploit protection.
Mm-hmm.
What do those do, and what are the pros and cons of having them on or off?
Well, the pros are that if the antivirus detects a malicious site that you're going to, it's going to stop you from going there. So those are important aspects of the antivirus. The problem with having it, though, on the one tool is that if that one tool misses it, right, you're going to end up going to a malicious site. And that's why companies like Tab recommend multiple layers of protections from different companies. You know, putting all your eggs in a Microsoft basket, or putting all your eggs in a Cisco basket, or putting all your eggs in a Webroot basket or a Fortinet basket, to me, is really not smart. Because if that one company doesn't detect the issue, you're going to be impacted. If you have multiple layers, so if you ran OpenDNS, which is going to give you good malware protection, you could then have, you know, the two technologies protecting you from malicious sites, Webroots and or whichever AV you're using, and Cisco's, right? You just can't trust that one tool is going to protect you from them all. It's, you know, it's not like the one ring to bind you. It's the one ring to kind of nail you, because you're only using one tool. Multiple tools is the best thing. Now, we would never tell you to run multiple antivirus or anything like that. We're recommending running multiple approaches to security, right? You use, like, ProtonMail offers a way to have malicious email blocked. So if you're not getting the bad phishing email, guess what? There's one company protecting you. Now, if somehow it slips through their email protection, you've got another company protecting you from that malicious link, let's hope, or yet another company in OpenDNS. So multiple ways to protect you is really what you want, as long as it doesn't impact performance, and none of those things would. So you want to enable it if you have it, or consider an alternative web defense technology like OpenDNS that does it for free for now for you. Do you understand?
Yes, yeah, that's good. And is Microsoft Defender and then like Malwarebytes Premium, should they be run together, or are they, would that give you this multiple protection you talked about?
I would never run the Microsoft tool, the Defender tool. It's, again, the fox guarding the hen house. It's Microsoft's built-in antivirus. I would have a secondary antivirus. And most likely, if you ran the professional version, right, Bob, of Malwarebytes, it's got antivirus built in, and it'll turn off Defender.
Correct.
It won't let you run both. But then I would tell you to run OpenDNS, which is not a software. It's an internet browsing approach. So now you get three protections, right? Your antivirus, your OpenDNS, and your web defense. So that's the way I would approach it, if that makes sense.
Okay. And then just the last question, Browser Guard. Malwarebytes says that somehow reduces the amount of ads you get. Is there any pros and cons of running that?
Ad blocking software has been out there for a while, so if they offer a way to block ads, that's great. Because I use the tools I recommend, I don't get those pop-ups that all those folks complain of. Do you, Bob?
No.
So if you run OpenDNS and you run a good antivirus, you shouldn't be impacted by the pop-ups and the junk that come through surfing naked on the internet. So you shouldn't have. What I'm saying is, you wouldn't need a browser guard if you just did the things that I'm talking about. Generally, our solutions are never going to be 100%. But in my experience, if I had the troubles you guys have out there in radio land, I would turn my computer off sometimes. Because you shouldn't be deluged with pop-ups.
Is, you said a good antivirus software. Is Malwarebytes Premium something you consider as a good antivirus program?
I consider it a good remediation tool. I would use more of a Webroot as my AV versus Malwarebytes. Webroot's a U.S.-based company. I think Malwarebytes is not U.S.-based. I'm not positive of that. But Webroot is a U.S.-based. It's owned by Carbonite now. So I would tell you that Malwarebytes would be a remediation tool that I would consider should I ever get impacted by malware, which over the many years of you hearing me on the radio, I don't get impacted. The last time we were impacted was when my kid was like in middle school and he was looking up a Japanese baseball player, and I lowered my security a little bit thanks to a little glass of Merlot, and boom, I got hit with malware. If you just do the things I'm doing, I'm just like you. I'm a regular guy that surfs regular things. You should be in good shape. So is Malwarebytes?
What was the name of that program you just said, the one by Carbonite?
Webroot. W-E-B-R-O-O-T. Yeah, it's a pretty good AV tool.
Great. Well, right. Thank you, and thanks for the program.
Our pleasure, Joe. Thank you. Is it US-based?
No, Malwarebytes was developed, actually is owned by Marcin Kleszynski, I hope I pronounced that right, who is from Poland.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right, but it's not US-based. So I want to bring up this news article because it's actually a Connecticut story.
Actually, let me correct that because then he moved to Bensonville, Illinois.
Oh.
And he received his BS from the University of Illinois, where he's a member of the Theta Chi fraternity.
All right. So is it an American company?
Doesn't really say. He owns it.
All right.
So
there's a story I wanted to bring up. A Wilton, Connecticut mother has found herself with a large bill from Apple. $16,000. Thanks to her six-year-old, who went on a spending spree in the App Store. So what the six-year-old was doing was using a game called Sonic Forces and buying little rings in the app. And she is saying that it's not her fault that her six-year-old was buying it. She is talking about it being kind of an addictive thing, and Apple's just, you know, bad company for allowing this to happen. Of course, she did not have any parental controls in place. But she still feels it's Apple's fault, even though she handed her Apple phone to the kid and he racked up a $16,000 bill. We won't even talk about the fact that she wasn't looking at her credit card, which, I mean, heck, my credit card goes off an alert if there's like a $30 charge to it. So I know what's going on my credit card. She doesn't think it's her fault. So again, this the reason I bring this up is nobody thinks it's your fault anymore, guys. You're the parent. It's your kid. He's cranking up this charge on your system, and it's Apple's fault. Now, $16,000 of fake little gold rings in a stupid app shouldn't occur. I agree. Apple is figuring they can make money off people who think there's value in little gold rings in an app. I mean, I guess you make your money however you want. But it's your job as the parent, for crying out loud, to put in parental controls. You might be that same parent that thinks I'm supposed to pay for your kid's college education because you took a loan out that you didn't pay for. Is that the same idea here? I think it is. So it's your kid. He racked up the bill. Don't blame Apple. Do some little parental controlling here, guys. It's not my fault or anybody else's fault. It is your fault. It is not Apple's fault. So I'll put the link up here. You can read the story yourself. But come on. Everybody thinks it's somebody else's fault, but their own. Take some personal responsibility. We're going to step out for a... No, we're not going to step out because Joe said we have time to continue all the way through. We're going to go to Bob in Newington next. What's going on, Bob? Bob, you there?
Yes, I am.
What's going on, sir?
I just recently had my computer, an iMac, wired up for a LAN connection.
Yeah.
And the wire is still hanging by the computer because the back of the ports for my router, they're all filled up.
Yep. Okay, you can go get a little hub. You can go to, like, Staples or anything.
Not a hub. It would be a switch.
Sorry.
The hubs are obsolete.
Very obsolete. Bob's right. They're called switches. He's exactly
old,
right.
Old terms die hard.
They do. We still use the term Cat 5, but Cat 6 is really what's going on. So you want to get a little five-port switch, eight-port switch. You just pick them up at a Staples or a Best Buy. They should have them in stock, maybe. And just plug it into your router. and now you've got those additional ports.
So do I just pick any particular port in the, on the router?
Generally, you should be able to pick any particular port on the router these days.
So if it's full, pick one of the ones that's marked LAN. Unplug it. Okay, plug that wire into your switch and then get another cable and plug it from that port that you've just unplugged and plug it into your switch, and you'll be good.
Okay, and then plug the computer. Now, on the computer, are there any settings that I have to change from Wi-Fi to LAN, or does it automatically...
If you have DHCP, it'll automatically get an IP address.
Yeah, and it'll automatically detect that it's got a hard LAN connection. You don't want to have both running. Sometimes the laptop will allow both the Wi-Fi and the LAN connection to occur.
This is a desktop iMac.
Right, but it's Wi-Fi, you said, right now, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's hooked up Wi-Fi.
Yeah, so I would tell you to disable Wi-Fi if it's going to be connected hardwired. Don't have them both running.
I found that with Windows.
How do you disconnect?
I'm not a Mac user, but you should be able to go to the network settings of the Mac and turn off that wireless interface. What were you going to say, Bob?
Yeah, I was going to say with Windows 10, if you plug them both in, usually the wireless will go off after a few minutes.
Usually, not in my case.
Okay.
But yeah, don't run them both.
Okay. I mean, by running them both, is that possible? I mean, do people do that and not know they're not supposed to?
They do, and all sorts of weird things happen. Especially in businesses, really hard to troubleshoot networking issue when you're getting your network connectivity from two sources, and one's flaky. So if you just connect, like Bob said, the Apple could even be smart enough to detect the hard wire and turn off the Wi-Fi, which would be great. And that's what you should do. You don't want them both running.
Now, do you think I should notice a difference in speed?
Maybe, yeah. So the hardwired connection is going to be a gigabit connection between your router and your Mac. Your wireless connection may be 100 megabits or whatever your wireless broadcast is capable of doing. So how old's your router?
Maybe 4 years old, 3 years old.
Do you know what protocol you're running on? Is it AC? Is it G? Is it N? You don't know?
No.
So if you go into your router and figure or get the make and model of your router, you can look up
Frontier router.
Oh, it's from Frontier?
Yep.
Okay. Well, they could have given you a 10-year-old router for all you know.
That's why I'm trying to get a better speed off my computer. Although they did put that GoNet. Is that what it is?
GoNet speed?
Yeah, they have it on my street.
Oh my gosh. Bob, run to that right now.
Really?
Your next phone call is going to be to GoNetSpeed. What are you doing? Yes. Are you kidding me?
$50 a month?
Guaranteed for life, no data caps. I just got a warning from my Cox internet at my house. Hey, Eric, your guys are using too much data. Be prepared for a big bill. I cannot wait to get over to GoNetSpeed or any company that will offer a capped usage internet service. Guaranteed for life, Bob. $50 forever. 150 megabits up and down, no data caps.
So do you think I'm paying more for that now with Frontier?
I don't even care what you're paying now with Frontier, but if you want a good internet connection that's going to never go up on you, I don't know what you're doing. I know you're paying more for that for Frontier, I would guess. I mean, I can't imagine you're paying more than $50.
Is it going to be at least 10 times the speed?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
That's good to know. I know that they strung it and they dropped off some information in the mailbox. And
I would have been on the phone that day.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Have you listened to the show? Is this your first day listening to the show?
Oh, no. But I've missed probably you guys talking to about it.
All right, you must have. You got to listen more often, Bob. Here's your prescription. You got to listen more often, subscribe to the podcast, because you would have been happier.
I do have the podcast. I do listen to the podcast, which I enjoy very much.
Awesome.
I think you guys do a great job there and informing the community of all these weird things going on. And actually, talk about weird things going on. My Mac did slow down quite a bit lately.
Your network did?
My Mac, iMac.
Oh, your Mac. Yeah, that's got issues too.
I know you're not an iMac guy. You mentioned that more than once, but I still can't believe what people. All your calls are based on Microsoft problems, And I mean, over the years, very seldom I hear people coming in and, you know, complaining about the max. Although, like I say, the speed has been reduced somewhat, and I got to figure out. And that's why I ran this land connector. But never had a problem with, knock on wood.
Yeah,
I know you warn everybody, but I never had a problem with viruses or
good.
Having to update my pet virus packages like I did in the past with my Microsoft. Yep. So
Bob,
anyway.
the reason that nobody calls in about Apple products is because, unfortunately, Microsoft has 99% of the market. Even in our client base of over 8,000 systems, I can count on maybe two hands how many Apple devices are in those 8,000 systems in the business world.
Yeah.
So
well,
Apple's
I
still.
I learned my lesson. I had my problems with the PC years back, and then my wife accidentally called India one time because she thought it was a Microsoft company because we had problems with the computer, and boy, did we get raked over the coals for a few bucks on that job.
Yeah,
but,
I hear you.
I swore I'd never, once I got another computer, was going to be an iMac. And it took a while. It's not an easy system to learn.
No.
No matter what they tell you, you know?
I know.
But it was well worth it, though.
Awesome. Well, if you do change to go NetSpeed, let us know how it went and how. Do a speed test, Bob, on your system right now.
Okay.
And also go find out how much you're paying for it. And then go take a look at the cheapest Go NetSpeed option is $50 for 150 down, 150 up. That's all you need. It's plenty of performance. And if you do go to it, let us know how you like it. I'll definitely
let you guys know about that.
Awesome. Thanks,
Bob.
Thank
you very much for the tip.
All right, good luck.
Go get that switch.
Yeah, go get that switch, exactly. All right, take it easy. So when I came home from the show on Saturday, what is my first thing my wife tell me? Our Amazon account's been compromised. I'm like, really? How do you find that out? They called us. Now, she didn't fall for it either, but she got freaked out about it a little bit. I'm like, nobody's calling from Amazon telling you your account's been compromised. All you do is go on the account and it's fine. But don't fall for that, guys. These phishing schemes are pretty popular. They're calling you. It's the old, you know, do you have Prince Albert in a can, you know, thing. Let them out, you know.
Well, let me install some software on there and give me your password while we're at it.
Right, and your credit card.
And your credit card, yeah.
I mean, we've had people talk about the fact that they've given these bad guys $600, $700 to have them bang around their computer fixing nothing. So if anybody calls you from Microsoft, it's fake. If anybody calls you from Amazon, if anybody calls you even from the IRS, even from the government, no one's calling you.
Yeah, I got a call last week. Yeah. My Social Security card or number was suspended.
Yes, suspended. That call is very common. I heard somebody handle that call. The person on the recipient of the call says, okay, all right, so what's my number? And the guy's asking, well, no, you tell me your number. I said, well, if it's you're calling me, you should know my number.
Mine was a robocall telling me to call back. It gave me a number. Oh, it wasn't even a real person.
Even creepier. So don't fall for that stuff, guys. There's going to be a lot of those phishing schemes out there, a lot of those tricks that are going on out there. Feel free to get online. We have plenty of time left, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. While we're waiting for your calls, I'm going to bring up another news item because that Willington story is not enough. Here's another one. A guy was playing with a Google Cloud free trial. Free trial. And he ended up with a $72,000 bill from Google. And this is a former Google employee who was playing around with their Google Cloud to see how it all worked and was going to get things spun up over there. And before you knew it, he was getting whacked with $5,000 hits because of the CPU usage that was happening on the database that he loaded up on the Google Cloud. So again, cloud is an expensive solution. No, don't let anybody tell you that just going to the cloud is going to save you money. In many cases, it costs you many times over that. We see that with our voice over IP business for phone systems for our business clients. You know, they get quoted $35 a handset per month forever versus just buying a handset. And if you just did the math over the life expectancy of a 15 years of a phone system, you're going to pay five times for that phone system versus buying one that'll have all the same capabilities, except the phone system is in your four walls and not in the cloud where they're charging you $35 a handset. So be careful. We'll put the link up here on this experiment and you can take a look at it. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning. I want to thank Joe back in Farmington for handling the calls and engineering. I want to thank Mike G for doing everything for us, posting everything live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. And I guess we're not going to see you until after Christmas. So Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Be safe out there. And, you know, buy local if you can. That's the key here, is support what we have here in Connecticut, because it's going to be a long road back to recovery after this COVID thing.
See you next time.
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.